If you have a Bible, please turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Lord's Day, this day of rest. We thank you for your word that is truth, that is light, that bears witness and testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, of his work on the cross, his death for sinners, and his resurrection, Lord, and the hope of his coming again. And we pray, Father, that you would be pleased to use this word in our hearts, that we would live as we ought to live, Lord, that you would be merciful and kind to us this day. We pray, Lord, that we would live with certainty of the coming judgment of the Lord, who will come and destroy this earth, who will pour out his wrath on sin and on the unbeliever. Pray, Lord, you would stir them up to seek Christ. You would be merciful and kind this day, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. I've entitled this message, Who Wants to Meet a Thief in the Night? And probably no one would answer in the affirmative, and that's right. And as the point of my message, originally, this is only half of the message I intended to preach today. I was not able to, I think I bit off more than I can chew by trying to preach through this whole passage in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 10. It was what I was originally going to do, but again, I had to cut it in half. So let me begin by reading the text in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, 1 through 11. I'll read this entire passage. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you were doing. Back in about, I think, 2004, summer of 2004, I was between my sophomore and junior year of Bible college. Many of you know I attended a small Fundamentalist Baptist Bible College in northern Wisconsin, and during that summer I had the chance to go on a mission trip to Cameroon, Africa, and I was there for 6 weeks and did a variety of different things. The missionary owned an airplane, and the Cameroon, it was mountainous where he was, and he owned an airplane, like I said, and many of the places that he needed to get to were very difficult to hike to, and it took a long time. So a group of us guys went on top of some of these mountains, and we cleared out an area to make airstrips so he could land his airplane and get there in the speed, to cut down time and to reach the people that were there. in the preaching of the gospel. And some of the time while we were there, we would actually stay at his house, at his home. And he had his main home where he and his wife and his family lived. And then out back to the side, there was this little bungalow. And it was big enough to hold four or five guys. It was just this kind of, I think the base was made of concrete. It was round. And the top was this kind of thatched, this thatch hut material. And it was there that I slept when not out on a mountaintop. One night, myself and four other guys that were with me were asleep. And when we woke up in the morning, we went to get dressed, and we had noticed that some of our things were missing. And it dawned on us that we had been met by a thief in the night, that night. And they had stolen, they'd stole a pair of glasses of mine, a pair of shoes, and some other guys had some things stolen as well. And we could not believe that these guys snuck into this little bungalow with four grown men, and none of us, not one of us, woke up. But we were taken by surprise, and we were unprepared, and we were unexpected. The visitor that night was unexpected, and we met with loss that night because of our unpreparedness. This passage here, Paul is writing to the Thessalonians concerning the day of the Lord, which is that day when the Lord Jesus, who has been crucified and risen and who has ascended into heaven, will come back to this earth in bodily form. And in the previous chapter, the end of chapter 4, they had questions about those who had fallen asleep or those who had died in the Lord. And Paul writes to them saying, I don't want you to be uninformed about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do. And he goes on to say, the Lord will come back, and those who have fallen asleep, who have died, will come back with the Lord. And we who are left on this earth will be raised up together with him, and we'll meet the Lord in the air and always be with the Lord. And it seems they also had questions about the times and the seasons when this would occur. He says in verse 1, now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. He says, you already know what you need to know about the times and the seasons of the coming of the Lord. He says, you are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Now this phrase, times and seasons, the Lord Jesus said himself in Acts 1:7. He says, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. And in Matthew 24:36, he says the same thing. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. So here Paul reminds them of this. You will not know the day and the hour of the coming of the Lord. But what you do know, and all you need to know, is this, that when he does come, it will be like a thief in the night. It will be sudden. It will be sudden and will be unexpected for many. So in this message, I want to give an exhortation that we must be prepared for the coming of the Lord. We must be prepared for the coming of the Lord. For those who are unprepared, who are not waiting for him, the day of the Lord will bring destruction. Verse 3. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. So those who are unprepared for the coming of the Lord, when he comes like the thief, it will be unexpected, and they will suffer the loss of their lives. So who are these unprepared ones that will meet loss and destruction at the coming of the Lord? What is those who are in darkness? In verse 4, Paul says to the Thessalonians, those who have been saved, says, you are not in darkness, brothers, contrasting the world around them. Those who are in darkness, this is fallen mankind who who are darkened by sin and unbelief. They have no sight of the spiritual realities that are around them, and the bent of their heart is towards sin. They do not and they cannot obey God. Though born into this world this way, in darkness and in sin, they're still culpable or blameworthy for their sin. This is what Romans says. Paul says that everyone has the light of creation. In Romans chapter 1, verses 19 through 20, he says, "What can be known about God is plain to them." So for everyone on this earth, there is something about God that's plain, he says. It says, because God has shown it to them. And he says, what is plain to them is his invisible attributes, namely, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. So he says, when man looks out at the stars at night, and when he sees the beauty and the glory of the earth, it bears witness to the power and divine nature of God. And God will hold men accountable for that light, though they are in darkness. They also have the light of conscience. In Romans chapter 2, verses 14 through 15, it says that all men have the law of God written on their hearts. All men at some level innately know the difference between right and wrong. There's also those who have had the light of the gospel. These ones who have heard the gospel and who do not repent and cling to Christ will receive the greater condemnation. Christ said it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah. It will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than for those who have heard the gospel and who reject Christ. The Bible also says that men who are in darkness, when they have that light, when they see that light, it says that they suppress the truth. They hold it down in unrighteousness. Again, Romans 1:19, men in their unrighteousness suppress the truth. John chapter 3, verses 19 through 20 says it this way. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. So the men of the world who are in darkness, it says that they love the darkness, they love their wicked deeds, and they hate the light. It is these that will meet the day of the Lord with destruction and tragedy. The scripture goes on to say that these who are the unprepared, who will be destroyed at the coming of the Lord, they are also asleep. In verse 6 he says, "So then, let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night." So those who are asleep, they live as if there will never be a judgment day. There is spiritual and moral laxity. It means that they are prepared for the coming of the Lord. They live life day by day as if there were no God, and they can do whatever they want without accountability. Mark 13:36 says, I'm not sure why I have this. "Lest he come suddenly and find you asleep." These are those who are in darkness, speaking of the coming of Christ. Don't be as one whom Christ finds asleep, careless, living life as if there is no accountability to God. And don't be as one as in Luke 12:45. "But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and get drunk." Again, this passage in Luke speaks of a servant who has been entrusted with the house of his master, with his servants. And he says, "My master is long in coming. I will live however I want to live. I'll beat my servants. I'll get drunk. I'll be negligent of my duty." This is the man who is in darkness, who lives as if there will be no accountability to God. Again, in Matthew chapter 25, there's the parable of the foolish virgins. Let me turn to Matthew 25. The parable of the 10 virgins. And in this parable, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, "Here comes the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!" Then all these virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves." And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered, "Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." Again, Jesus gives these parables, gives this parable to exhort people to be ready for his coming. For those who are like the virgins who do not have oil, they are unprepared for his coming, and they will meet judgment. Also, those who are unprepared, who will meet the destruction of the Lord, it is as if they are drunk. Verse 7. It says, "For those who are asleep sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night." So again, he's using this illustration or this the symbolism of darkness. Those who are dark normally sleep and get drunk at dark when it is dark out. This has a spiritual sense to it. These who are drunk, their pleasures are primarily those of the senses. They do literally get drunk. There's drug abuse, lust, fornication, pornography, overeating, covetousness, the accumulation of material things. Now, this is the worldling who is in darkness. He lives only for what he can see, what he can taste, what he can smell, what he can feel. They take much care to indulge in their physical appetites, but give no thought to the care of their souls. Those who are in darkness, these who are unprepared, will meet a tragic fate when the Lord does come. The Lord says, or Paul says, that they will meet with sudden destruction. Verse 3, it says, "While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." So these who are in darkness, who live as if there is no God, they will think that there is security. They will think that life will continue on as it always has, buying and selling and marrying and giving into marriage, eating, drinking, building, and planting. And some will ridicule the idea of Christ's return. At 1 Peter chapter 3, he says, "Scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation.' But for these, the day of the Lord will be sudden. For these, the day of the Lord will be like a thief in the night." It'll be as those that the Lord speaks of in Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39. He says, "For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days, before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man." So those in Noah's day were those who lived as if there were no God. They lived to fulfill their sinful passions. When the floodwaters came, they came upon them suddenly, and they were not able to escape. And so it will be when the Lord comes again on the day of the Lord. For those who are in sin and in darkness, and also it will be like it was in the days of Lot. Luke 17:28-30. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking. They were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. So will it be on the day when the Son of Man is revealed. So those who are unprepared will not only meet a sudden destruction, but they will meet an inescapable destruction. Again, verse 3, that last phrase, and they will not escape. There will be no escape for those who have not repented when the day of the Lord comes. There will be no place to hide. There will be no way to escape the wrath of the wrath of the Lord when He returns. They will no more escape the Lord's judgment than a pregnant woman escapes the birth pangs of childbearing. And in the Old Testament, there are several verses that speak of coming judgment and the pains and the destruction that will come with judgment, likening it to childbearing. Isaiah 13:8 says, "They will be dismayed. Pangs and agony seize them. They will be in anguish like a woman in labor. They will look aghast at one another. Their face will be aflame." Jeremiah 22:23. "O inhabitant of Lebanon, nested among the cedars, how will you be pitied when pangs come upon you, pangs as of a woman in labor?" In Revelation chapter 6, verses 12 through 17, depicts the desperate attempt of the wicked to escape. This is the opening of the sixth seal, which is a depiction of the second coming of the Lord Jesus. He says, "When he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became dark as sackcloth. The full moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth as the fig tree sheds its winter fruit, shaken by a gale. The sky vanished like a scroll that is being rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth and the great ones and the generals and the rich and the powerful and everyone, slave and free, hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains, calling to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who is seated on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can stand?'" So there will be no escape for those who are unprepared at the coming of the Lord. To conclude, the exhortation to the one who is not in Christ, who has not known the mercy and forgiveness of Christ, This person must seek Christ. I want to read to hopefully encourage the seeking of Christ a little bit from Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners, which is John Bunyan's testimony of how the Lord dealt with him when he, before he became a believer. And John Bunyan, before he was converted, he knew the Bible very well. He had convictions of God's sovereignty in saving people before he was even saved. He read the Bible and knew that the Bible taught that the elect are saved, and those who are called by Christ are saved. And he would often fear and be tempted by the devil. Well, what if you're not elect? The devil would come and say to him, and he would muse in his mind, well, maybe I'm not elect. Then what's the point of seeking Christ, the devil would say to him. And he would be very discouraged by this. And let me read some of what he says here. He says, neither as yet could I attain to any comfortable persuasion that I had faith in Christ. But instead of having satisfaction here, I began to find my soul to be assaulted with fresh doubts about my future happiness, especially with such as these, whether I was elected, or what if the day of grace has now come and gone. He says, by these two temptations, I was very much afflicted and disquieted, sometimes by one, sometimes by the other. And first, to speak of that, about my questioning of election, I found at this time that though I was in a flame to find the way to heaven and glory, and though nothing could beat me off from this, yet with this question did so offend and discourage me that I was especially sometimes as if the very strength of my body also had been taken away by the force and power thereof. This scripture did also seem to me to trample upon all my desires. Romans 9:16, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but God that showeth mercy. So Bunyan is saying, I know that I am not elect, that I can't be saved. And it discouraged him. I know he was seeking Christ, it almost completely extinguished any desire to continue to do so. And he goes on to say, with this scripture I could not tell what to do, for I evidently saw, unless that the great God of his infinite grace and bounty had voluntarily chosen me to be a vessel of mercy, though I should desire and long and labor until my heart did break, no good could come of it. Therefore this would stick with me. How can you tell that you were elected? And what if you should not? What then? O Lord, thought I, what if I should not be indeed? It may be that you are not, said the tempter. It may be so indeed, thought I. Why then, said Satan, you had as good leave off and strive no farther. For indeed you should not be elected and chosen of God. There is no talk of your being saved. For it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So here he is, the devil is coming. If you're not elect, you're not going to be saved. So quit seeking. And Bunyan says, by these things I was driven to my wit's end, not knowing what to say or how to answer these temptations. Indeed, I little thought that Satan had thus assaulted me, but that rather it was my own prudence thus to start the question. For that the elect only attained eternal life, that I without scruple did heartily close with all. He said, I fully believed that only the elect would receive eternal life, but that myself was one of them, there lay the question. He goes on to say, for several days I was greatly assaulted and perplexed, and was often, when I have been walking, ready to sink where I went with faintness in my mind. But one day, after I had been so many weeks suppressed and cast down therewith, as I now find, as I was now quite giving up the ghost of all my hopes of ever attaining life, that sentence fell with weight upon my spirit. Look at the generations of old and see, did ever any trust in God and were confounded? So it was scripture, it was the word of God that came to Bunyan in his darkest hour when he was ready to give up seeking for Christ. And if you are here today and you know something of that struggle, don't give up. Don't leave off getting into the Word of God. Bunyan kept going back to the Word of God again and again. And it was that very Word that he used to spur him on, to lead him on, and to cause him to continue to seek Christ. You must be in the Scriptures. You must seek Him there. He goes on to say, he speaks of his second thing that troubled him, that only those called by Christ will share in his righteousness and glory in heaven. He knew that if Christ did not call him effectually, that he could not be saved. I was also made about this time to see something concerning... let me skip that part here. He said, I found by reading the word that those that must be glorified with Christ in another world must be called by him here, called to the partaking of share in his word and righteousness, and to the comforts and first fruits of his spirit, and to a peculiar interest in all those heavenly things which do indeed prepare the soul for that rest and house of glory, which is in heaven above. If he was ever to taste the sweetness of salvation, he knew that he could only do so by a work of grace. Here again, I was at a very great stand, not knowing what to do, fearing I was not called. For thought I, if I be not called, what then can do good me? What then can do me good? None but those who are effectually called inherit the kingdom of heaven. But oh, how I love those words that spake of a Christian's calling, as when the Lord said to one, follow me, and to another, come after me. And oh, thought I, that he would say so to me too, how gladly would I run after him. Again, he's in the Word of God, and he's reading these passages where Christ says, come and follow me. And it flames desire in him to be called. I cannot now express with what longings and breathings in my soul I cried to Christ to call me. Thus I continued for a time, all on a flame to be converted to Jesus Christ, and did also see that day such glory in a converted state that I could not be contented without a share therein. Gold could have been gotten for gold. What would I have given for it? Had I had a whole world, it had all gone 10,000 times over for this, that my soul might have been in a converted state. So this, again, this is Bunyan in his struggles, though he in his fears that he may not be elect, and knowing that he cannot be saved unless the Lord calls him, he continues to go to the Word and seek Christ there. And this must be for all those who are not in Christ, lest they meet the day of the Lord in judgment. If it takes the rest of the life, it is a worthy search. For to leave off now and to continue on in sin and to be hardened, you will be worse off than before. Christ must be sought now.